Today's episode is brought to you by that feeling of being totally and completely accepted for who you are by another person.
Well, I always tell my students, follow your bliss.
Welcome back to Bliss, the podcast. I'm your host, Patch Drury, and I am so happy to be back. I feel like we have been gone forever. We had some things happen here on my side of the microphone. My mother was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and when the doctors first had that conversation with us, it was a conversation around how much longer she had left on this planet. And so that was a really nerve-wracking, scary thing. And then they gave her some chemo, and the tumor didn't grow at all, so surgeons were able to go in and remove it and resection her plumbing. And now the conversation is no longer about how long she has, but instead about how this whole experience made her stronger and more vibrant and more into life. And so we are not counting our days with her anymore. We are in the sense that we know life is short, but we are excited that this particular cancer is no longer going to take her from us. And so we're super excited about that, and we're really grateful for that change in our future. Then after that, my entire family got sick. I don't know where you live, but here in Lexington, the flu and flu-like sicknesses are going around like crazy. And so we caught it because we have a five-year-old and he brings everything into the house. So we all kind of spent some time sick. And so we've missed about 2 weeks worth of episodes, and I'm going nuts about that. So we're ready to jump right back into it, ready to continue our six-week series about the monomyth. And this week we are looking at the step of apostasis, which is death and rebirth as a new thing. And I'm really super excited about our guest for this week. Our guest is my wife, Sarah Drury. Now, she's appeared briefly on the podcast before, but this time I really sit down and talk to her about her her process of becoming an entrepreneur and following her bliss and becoming the her that she was meant to be. And it's a very, it's a really good conversation. She is a good person to talk to about this stuff, because she lives it day and night. She's in there really being herself, and that's it's an incredible thing to see. Something I'm super excited about, I'll just throw in real quick before we get to the conversation, is she and I were invited to a dinner party recently, and the guest list for the dinner party was described as spiritual entrepreneurs. And so my wife Sarah and I were included in that, and that was a really exciting realization to make about ourselves. That's what we are. We're spiritual entrepreneurs. She is trying to imbue specifically women, but people in general, with confidence to be who they really are and to be themselves. And I'm trying to help people find their bliss, and those are two very spiritual activities. And so we're excited to imagine ourselves, to have that confirmed back to us by other people, that we are spiritual entrepreneurs. And it's a pretty good feeling, pretty good place to be. So anyway, with no further ado, here is my conversation with my beautiful, charming wife, Sarah Drury. Sarah, out of all my guests that I've had on the program, you are the only one that I've ever slept with. How
inappropriate.
How does that feel?
I don't even know how to answer that question.
Emotionally.
I have no words for this.
Okay. For my listeners who may want to know if I'm a gentle lover, would you just say yes or no?
Moving on.
Okay. All right.
Next question.
Well,
no
just
comment.
Leave it to their imagination. Okay. I don't usually get to ask those kind of questions, but the most important question I ask all of my guests is, are you following your bliss?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, for people who don't know you, what is your bliss?
Okay. So, my bliss has a couple of different parts to it, but basically, it has a couple of different parts, and also it's sort of evolving. But it's basically at the core of it, my bliss is to find my own inner confidence and to help other women find theirs. So it is to help women kind of feel beautiful on the inside and on the outside, and kind of marry those two worlds together and shine as brightly as they can. And part of my bliss in that is doing that and finding that for myself so that I can lead by example.
Both extremely easy things to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, the point of this podcast is to explain how the search for bliss corresponds and lines up with Joseph Campbell's monomyth. And what you're doing is a perfect example of how it lines up, because ultimately in the monomyth, you go into yourself and you find that thing that you need, that you think the world needs. And there's a phase in the monomyth called the refusal of the return. And that's when the person has found that magic elixir. They found that boon. And instead of taking it to the world, they just kind of want to sit and be themselves with it. And so you could very well just say, hey, I need more confidence in my life. I'm going to work on building my confidence. But what you've done is you've said, if I find that lesson, if I'm able to lay my hands on it, that's an important thing for other women. So I want to take it to them. And so in that sense, I think genuine bliss is often motivated by compassion. Compassion is a big part of finding your bliss, and you seem to have tapped into that part very well.
Yeah, but I would actually back up a little bit there, because I think part of the journey and part of my journey on this path is that I feel like I have tapped into that, and the part in my journey right now is sort of saying to myself, I don't have to have it all figured out to bring what I know to the world. Gotcha. And so that's kind of like my, kind of like where I am in the reinvention of myself process. Because like you said, it is easy to just sort of sit with it, and it is scary as hell to put yourself out there and share the things, not knowing how it's all going to be received, especially because, like I said, you know, I sort of started with makeup and the outer beauty, and now I'm kind of transitioning into talking more about the inner beauty and finding the actual confidence and self-love and what that looks like. And so it's a big transition time, and that is a scary thing. So I'm trying to figure out where does my confidence come from that I can bring that to the world.
I think it's probably scary for any potential entrepreneur or any potential bliss finder, that you realize you want to share what you have with the world, but you never know how it's going to be reacted to. You never know how people are going to receive it. And you kind of mentioned telling yourself it was okay if you didn't have all the answers. That's a hard one for people. People feel like they have to be the expert when they step mm-hmm. out onto something.
Yeah, and I think being an expert in one area, which for me would be the makeup and hair and all that stuff, I feel like I have stepped into that role really well. And so people sort of know me as one thing. They know me as that. And now that I'm trying to transition to the other, there has been a lot of fear in, will that be accepted by the people who are already like, are they going to say, stick to makeup and shut up about the inner part?
Yeah, you know? not realizing, and probably you yourself not realizing, the things that you're already an expert on that you may not feel an expert, because we all suffer with this imposter syndrome. When we start trying to put something into the world, we imagine we're not good enough or not the expert on it we want to be, when in reality we probably are, or maybe if we've put the time in, mm-hmm. as I know you have. You mentioned reinventing yourself, and that's going to be a big important part of what we're talking about today. This series that we're in, I'm just dissecting the monomyth. And so your journey represents a very specific step on the monomyth that I want to get to, but we're going to kind of start at the beginning just to get us there naturally. So what was your call to adventure? What was the thing that made you decide, oh, I have to start on this journey towards being myself and finding my bliss and doing what I was made to do?
Well, that is when you got fired.
Oh, shit. Just kidding, I knew.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, good. No. I would have hoped you would by now.
I was there.
Okay, good. So whenever you got fired,
I assume most people listening probably know this, and probably just because I don't shut up about it, but I worked at a church and I got fired from that church. So just so no one thinks I was, you know, like a bank officer and stole a bunch of money or something. So I got fired, and go ahead.
Yes. And so I knew that you were going to need time to lick your wounds, so to speak, to kind of get back on your feet emotionally and just figure out what you wanted, excuse me, the next phase of your life to look like. So to me, it was kind of it was the call to adventure to kind of step up and take ownership and, be the, I don't know if I'm allowed to say breadwinner for the family
absolutely, because
for a little while, which you had done for, so long too.
We both had, like, you did really well. You made a lot of money in the job you were doing, but yours was kind of a by appointment job. So if you had to say, how much money is Sarah going to bring in this week? It was always kind of changing. Whereas mine was a consistent paycheck, benefits, that kind of stuff.
Right. I felt like, in a way, I was like, well, my money is just kind of like play money. That's just like our little extra or whatever. When that happened, it was like, okay, now you've got to take this a little bit more seriously and figure out where you're going with this and how to maximize what you're currently doing. How can you bring in more?
So after the call to adventure, what often happens is the hero sees the call, but they refuse the call, usually out of fear of change, not wanting to let go of their old life, not wanting to embrace something new, not feeling like they have everything required to make this journey. So did you feel that? Did you feel fear?
Not at that particular step. I mean, I think I felt fear, but I think I was driven by,
fear of starving.
Yeah, like it wasn't even fear. It was just like, let's do this. Like, yeah. I put my head down and I was like, there's a way to figure it out. I don't know.
And we had a 2-year-old at the time.
Yeah.
And so all the stakes seemed a little higher.
Yeah, absolutely. So there, we'll get to that step again, hopefully, in just a little while. But I don't want to jump ahead. But I kind of skipped over that step. I'm sure there was some fear involved, but I was just like, no, there is a way, we're going to figure it out.
Well, and that's the thing about the monomyth. Not every step expresses itself in order.
And maybe not at every,
or in every instance. Story. Yeah. Yeah. And so in a lot of cases, there's a refusal of the call, and then the person is helped through the refusal of the call by a mentor of some kind, or supernatural aid. I shouldn't say mentor. It's usually expressed as a mentor, but supernatural aid can be anything.
I definitely had a mentor.
Who was your mentor?
I would say probably my biggest mentor would be James Wedmore.
James Wedmore, if people don't know, give a very brief, concise explanation of who James Wedmore is.
He just is an online entrepreneur who helps other online entrepreneurs kind of scale their businesses.
And so he saw something in you and invited you to come out to California to study under him for a little while. Mm-hmm. And he has used kind of you as an example of, or a promotional, he's used you to try to sell what he does. I'm trying to figure out a way to say that. But you have shown up in his promotional material as, here's one of the people that I'm working with.
Yes, among many, many
yeah,
others.
And so that's not to say that he's like, oh, I got Sarah Drury. I just mean you, Okay. I'm not trying to undersell what he does by pointing you out.
Okay.
So anyway, so then you crossed the threshold. You started it. So, and for you, at the time, I remember, because I was right in the middle of it, for you, starting it was the creation of an online course.
Yes.
And so you spent a lot of time writing and researching, and we spent time filming and editing to release an online course teaching women how to do their makeup in every conceivable scenario they would find themselves in.
Yes.
And so that was a lot of work.
It was for and both of us.
For both of us, yeah.
I don't know how we survived.
It was pretty touch and go there for a little bit. So you crossed the threshold that way. There's some steps of the monomyth that we're not really going to touch on necessarily in this six-part series. Since there are 17 pieces, it wouldn't make sense they'd all get mentioned in the six-part series. But last week I spoke with Anella Wetter, and she talked about how kind of to keep going, you have to let go of parts of yourself, your old self, that are no longer serving you. What would you say those were for you? Who was the old Sarah that wouldn't survive in this new paradigm of your life?
Yeah, it's funny because I don't really even think I'm even close to the same person that I was when I started this journey. So it is kind of fun and funny to look back over the course of just the last 3 years.
Yeah.
But things that I've had to let go of, that is a very good question. Definitely a lot of fear and, you know, caring what people think about me and not taking action because I'm like, oh, what's someone gonna think?
Right.
Which is funny because now and kind of like in the transition, I'm kind of coming up against some of those again. So as much as they've changed and I've 100% become a new person, it's like you still have similar things that you come up against that you have to rid of all over again.
I would assume to some degree you're a little better equipped this time, though.
Excellent point. Yes, I have many more tools to help me through.
Before, when you were releasing video courses, which you started doing before that, you had worked in salons and by appointment and stuff. I'm sure a lot of people were like, well, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
I know even our parents or our friends,
when you explain to them, they're kind of like, huh?
Yeah, you explain to them what you're doing. You're like, I'm doing an online course. And they're like, well, how do you make money with that?
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to transition to that. And now if those same people were to ask the question, were you still making an online course? And you'd be like, well, yeah, but now I'm focusing on self-confidence more than just makeup. They would probably have similar questions.
Exactly. It's even more like, wait, what?
But you're more equipped to say, hey,
I know a little bit more what I'm doing.
Trust me.
I feel a little bit more like I've stepped into an authority role, I guess. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I know that has changed about you that I would love to hear you talk about, and I know sometimes you want to talk about, but you feel wary of talking about it, is your attitudes towards money. And that has been a thing that has really changed for our family. It's changed our family in the way we do things and look at things. Can you talk a little bit about how do you look at money now compared to how you looked at money 3 years ago?
Yeah, completely differently, actually. But I didn't know you were going to ask me that question. okay,
well,
so,
for none of my guests, I don't send them the questions. This is a conversation.
So I'm not special.
No.
Okay.
Except that we've slept together.
Okay, thank you for bringing that up again. Okay, so money. So, well, when I was talking about what kind of motivated me in the beginning to get started, it was kind of, I guess, it was a little bit money. That was a big part of the conversation because when, when you lost your job, we were losing a huge chunk of our income. So I felt very motivated by making money and
for survival's sake.
For survival, yes, for sure. But also somewhere in there, I I decided I wanted to go beyond just survival. So it kind of started with that, but then it also has helped me realize, I think I used to think, like probably many people do, I had a lot of thoughts of like, oh, well, money doesn't grow on trees. It's kind of like a finite resource. It, you know, we have to hoard it as much as we can. And if it's gone, it's just gone. And how are we ever going to make any more? And going from thinking like that, which I think is kind of like a lack mindset, to realizing that, especially being an entrepreneur, one of the really amazing things about being an entrepreneur is learning to make money on demand and learning how to use your business skills to create an income, and that you can do that anytime you need to. And then just realizing also that money isn't a finite resource. It's constantly coming in and constantly going out, and it's just kind of like a constant flow, and that you can sort of relax about it a little bit. It doesn't have to be something that you're so stressed about all the time. And actually, if you can relax about it a little bit, you can even create it a little bit more easily because you're not so stressed about it. So you're gonna thoughts will come to you about how to make it a little bit more easily.
And some people would reject that thinking because, one, it seems a little magical woo-woo to them, because it takes money outside of the realm of, I do this work and in return I'm given this money. So it takes it outside of capitalism and just kind of says, if you can relax and be receptive and aware that there's plenty of money out there and it can come to you if you attract it to you. That seems like a weird thing for people. A lot of people don't like to connect spirituality to money because they think of money as evil and dirty. And that's one of the things that you've kind of helped me to reframe in my life and has been very valuable to me. I was shooting a video gig on Saturday night, and it was at this black tie gala, and everybody there was really rich. And there was a time in my life when I would have walked in there and I would have just kind of been mumbling under my breath about those people the whole time. It's like, oh, these people think they're so much better than I am, and they've got money to spend on this thing and that thing and blah, blah, blah. And just walking in there and realizing that the possession of money doesn't make you necessarily evil or bad or
good. It really
yeah. It's there's the opportunity for you to be a good person or a bad person regardless of how much you have.
Yeah, and I think the part about being an entrepreneur and kind of also what I have learned and am starting to try to teach as well is, I think when you like you said, you kind of connect your identity to money a little bit. I'm a rich person or I'm a poor person or whatever. But as an entrepreneur, if you can realize your own self-worth and you have a higher self-esteem and that kind of thing, then you're able to charge more for what you do because you realize the value that you're bringing, instead of kind of in a way giving your power away by saying, oh no, you don't need to pay me that much or whatever. I think, you know, it's funny, that's something that has changed a lot about me over the years. When I very first started doing haircuts, I think I was charging I want to say like $15 or something like that.
Right.
And then there were times I wanted to raise my prices, and I would go to say the price that was that I was raising it to, and I would actually say the same price. Like, it just wouldn't come out.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get out in verbally that I wanted to do this price increase. Whereas, you know, over time, realizing my value and what I'm bringing, now I'm able to charge more and not feel bad or guilty about it because I know the value that I'm bringing. And that's with haircuts, that's with makeup, that's with online classes and
so all that. I know you probably didn't say on purpose, but you said when you started out it was 15 and now you've raised it. I think it's important that you say out loud what you've raised it to.
Well,
for people's point of reference.
Well, okay. Well, my haircuts now are $50. So I went from 15 to 50. But I don't really think that's totally relevant. I mean,
well, it's not, but it kind of shows a little bit. It's,
yeah,
you're putting your money where your mouth is. And so if it's worth it to say, well, here's how much I charge for them and it's gone up from here, I think it's worthwhile to know. But the important thing is learning to put value on yourself and your efforts. And I, even though I'm trying to learn that from you, I still haven't done it. That gig I was talking about, they kind of at the very beginning of the negotiation process were like, well, we don't have much money. And so I lowered my rates for them in my mind before I ever said them out loud. I was like, well, I'll give them the rate for people who don't have as much money. And then after I started shooting, they were like, oh, this is such a bargain. You're such an artist. I can't believe you charge so little. And I wanted to punch them in the face at that point because I was like, really? Like, now you're going to say that? Now you're going to put a value on my art now that you've gotten the bargain? But anyway, this isn't about me. This is about you.
Well, this is a good point because it's a process and it's something that I still continue to work on too. And I don't think any work that you ever do on yourself, any inner work, is ever done. Jen Sincero, who wrote a book that I love called You Are a Badass, she talks about...
No cursing on the...
Oh,
on
sorry here. About that.
Just kidding.
She talks about going to the spiritual gym, is kind of what we're talking about with doing inner work. That could be, you know, considered a spiritual practice in a way. And it is like just going to the regular gym. It's not something that you do once and you're like, you get buff and then you're done.
Yeah.
Like it's something that you have to continue to do your whole life and it has to be, you know, integrated as a part of your lifestyle and you're constantly changing and growing and it's just a process. So
good. So the step in the mono method is next, and this is the step that specifically I wanted to interview you for, is called apostasis. And apostasis is basically you've gone through this process of cutting away the parts of yourself that aren't necessarily beneficial to you, and you there's kind of a big battle where you take control of your life, and taking control of your life at that point is called the atonement with the Father, and that's basically where you just take authority over yourself. And your whole journey has been moving towards this point where you take authority. You're like, you know, I'm not gonna be a wife who just makes fun money. My family needs this. I'm gonna step up and I'm gonna help provide it. I'm going to create my own thing, my own business. I'm gonna be an entrepreneur. And so what happens after that battle is that you win the battle, but the toll on the old you is so much that the old you dies and then you're reborn as a new you. And so we see this in a lot of mythology. We see it most notably, most famously for most people in this audience in the Christian mythology. Jesus dies and is reborn. And so this is the step in our journey where we die and we're reborn as something new. Does that feel like a description of kind of the high point of this journey for you? Do you feel like, and obviously I think you do because you've almost kind of said that, but that you have been reborn as a new version of you?
Absolutely. I think a couple of times during this journey, I sort of feel like the old me has died and a new me has taken the place. So yeah, 100%.
I can say as someone who's known the old you for a long time, you know, when we first started dating, even when we first started being married, you were not quiet and demure, but you took a back seat easily. You didn't.
Yeah, I would say in a lot of ways gave away my power.
Absolutely. And hopefully in giving it away to me, hopefully I didn't take advantage of that or anything like that. But
I think
now
that's the great thing about us and our relationship is we've always given each other the freedom to be who we are. And and to change within the relationship too.
Yes, I would agree. And so now you're in a position where, it's funny, you were hesitant to even mention this, but you know, I lost my job. And so you saw it as your opportunity and your obligation to step up and take control of things. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people, and I'm not bragging about myself, but like that could be a very potentially emasculating situation. And I will admit,
say, not that you've thought it was easy the whole time.
No, absolutely not. But I will admit, I worry at times that, oh, does Sarah see me as the man that she needs to see me as because of all this? And those are moments where I'm at a low point and I'm not feeling the best about myself, obviously. But you have, the old you would have never had the confidence to kind of not worry about that, you know, like you were like, here, this ring needs to be grabbed, so I'm going to grab it. Mm-hmm. And the new you is very impressive. Harder to get to do what I want, but very impressive.
Okay, thank you.
Nothing to say to that, really. That's okay. You don't have to. So I interviewed our friend Chandler Lyles a few weeks back, and we were talking about that the journey that I'm on with helping people discover their bliss and this podcast and stuff. A lot of the thing. I'm sorry, that's not while I was interviewing him. It's while he was interviewing me. That interview should be available very soon, by the way. But he was asking who was my supernatural aid? Who pushed me over the threshold? And it was clearly you, because I saw all the things that you were doing with your life and trying to live your bliss and follow it and be the best version of yourself. And I told Chandler it just didn't seem right to me to go say, well, I'm going to go work a salary job, I guess, and get benefits and just kind of phone it in. And not that there's anything wrong with that if that's what you're after, but it just didn't feel like we would have been a good match then. And so I want to be careful in saying that, because I don't want to say if one person in the family is an entrepreneur and the other one is working a salary job that they're not a good match. But I'm just saying for us, we wouldn't have been playing at the same level that I think would have been important for us. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
Well, I can't say for sure because you didn't do the other, and which I think actually would have been okay. But I think I saw in you that wasn't a good fit anymore. And so, I don't know, something you may or may not love about me is that I first of all, I think it is a gift of mine that I can see other people's greatness maybe before they do sometimes, which is funny because that's where I struggle, you know, with myself, which is why I work on all this stuff. But, and then the part that you maybe don't love is that I can be a little pushy when I see
never noticed. I've never noticed that. That's
not
weird.
Not living up to the.
Has somebody said that to you? I don't know. Where is this coming from?
All right, okay. Well, maybe not everyone knows your sarcasm, okay? But I just knew that you could be happier. I don't know why I knew that, but I felt like you could be happier if you were doing your own thing. And so, maybe a negative side is I don't like when I see people not living up to their potential. I feel like your mom right now. I'm not trying to sound no. like a mom, but like, I knew that you had something bigger in you and I wanted you to pursue that, so I felt like, yeah, I want to push you to do that. So in the sense that if you had kind of shrunk back and not accepted your own call to adventure, then yeah, I don't know, maybe we wouldn't be on the same wavelength as far as all of that, but that didn't happen. So.
So okay, well here.
Did I just ramble?
No, you did. That was good.
I was trying to get my thoughts together about
that. No, that's good. You didn't expect or have any of these questions ahead of time. So, you know, it's funny, but what I try to do in thinking about all of this is I'm constantly trying to find stories or mythologies that this process mirrors and is reflected in, because I think that kind of speaks to the truth of it. The stuff that expresses itself in our narratives kind of tells you, here's what's really on our hearts and what's on our minds. And so I made a video a while back comparing all this Joseph Campbell stuff that I talk about constantly to my favorite television show, Deadwood. And you're going to be annoyed that I'm even talking about this. But in Deadwood, there's this guy, Seth Bullock, and he comes to Deadwood, this town, to be a hardware operator, even though in his blood, in his bones, he is a sheriff. He's a lawman. But he's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a sheriff. I just want to go sell hardware. And he gets in the town, and this guy, Al Swearingen, who's kind of, he's a saloon runner in the town, he recognizes.
I was just like Al Swearingen.
Yeah, and that's, in this sense, you are. He recognizes in Seth Bullock, you need to be a sheriff. Your gifts are being a lawman and helping guide the town in that way. And so he guides Seth Bullock away from being a sheriff, I mean, away from being a hardware salesman, towards being a sheriff. And because of that, it'd be hard to watch Deadwood and say the town thrives. The town never thrives. But the amount of destruction that the town is saved from because of Seth Bullock taking up the mantle he was born for is significant. And so I'm sorry to make your interview in this last part so much about Deadwood, but
it fits perfectly.
I think there is a part of what you do and what you say that is truth, and we know it's truth because we see it reflected in the stories we tell each other.
Yeah.
And that, if there's anything that encapsulates what this podcast is about, is that by the when we are vitalized by following our bliss, we necessarily vitalize others. And that's what you did. You followed your bliss. You recognized it. You chased it. And in doing that, the outcome for me was that my life became vitalized. And now I'm trying to use this podcast and consulting to vitalize other people's lives. And so you are the rock that hit the water. And hopefully all of these are just ripples that will continue to ripple out. And the ultimate goal, not to get too lofty, is to change the world. And I would say that is probably your ultimate goal too. Is that right?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And yeah, I think in changing the world, that can look like a whole lot of different things. It could even look like helping someone else that is a catalyst for change. It doesn't, you know, it can look like a whole lot of things.
Absolutely. So we are wrapping up here. Is there anything that you didn't get to say that you would like to say?
The only thing that I want to say is that I'm proud of you.
No, oh, well, thank you very much. I started last week with Anella Wetter trying to maybe pursue this idea of ending every episode with a blessing that I give to the person that I'm interviewing. And so I would say to you as by way of blessing is that you are not the woman you were 10 years ago by any means. And that's not a bad thing or a good thing necessarily. The woman you were 10 years ago was an incredible woman. She's a woman I thought I should marry, but I had no idea what I was getting into in all kinds of good ways, because I think that girl 10 years ago, if I had lost my job, would have just crumbled. And I've seen that happen to women before, strangely enough. But I've also told the story that when I came home and I told you what had happened, that the church had fired me, you kind of narrowed your eyes and set your jaw and just kind of said, fuck them, what's next? And that has set the course for our life. And I cannot imagine anything more beneficial to our family and our son. And so thank you for being the incredible woman that you are. So if somebody is listening to this and they're like, man,
thank you, first of all, for okay. That was very sweet. And let me respond.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Thank you for saying that.
You're very welcome. If someone's listening to this and they're like, oh, a woman's listening to this and they're like, I need confidence. I need to feel like a better version of myself. I need to show up more in my life and feel the confidence Sarah is talking about. How do they get in touch with you? What's the first step?
Well, they can go to sarahdrurylocallooks.com, and there's a little form on the front page of the website where you can fill out your name and email and get on my email list. I'm actually currently working on something really big and really exciting that I can't wait to share. That would be the best way to connect and find out about it.
All right.
Or on Instagram. I'm also on Instagram a ton, which is same thing, Sarah Drury Local Looks.
You are on Instagram. So how many Instagram followers do you have? Like 90,000?
Yeah, 90,000.
90,000?
Yeah. No, not quite. Trying to get there, but not there yet.
All right. So you're not just on Instagram a lot. You're on your phone a lot is what I would...
So are you. So
not like you. My phone doesn't even work. My phone dies every 10 seconds. So. Okay. Anyway, thank you so much for being on this. I'm sure it frightened you to open yourself up to me.
Yeah, like talking about all this stuff and being openly vulnerable is something that's like the next person that I'm trying to become, because it is it's a little hard for me. So thank you for pushing me even more.
Well, you're welcome. The good news is most podcast hosts won't ask you about sex as much as I did. So, but don't leave the studio because I want to talk to you some more about that. And thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Wasn't she incredible? Do you find yourself in love with her now? Well, bad news. I'm married to her, so she's really off limits to you, at least in terms of marriage. A way she is not off limits to you is offering her skill at helping you kind of find your confidence. And as she mentioned, she also helps women learn how to apply makeup in any scenario, in any situation, and she is incredible at it. She is the best at it I have ever seen. If I had to apply one word to describe how people who wear their makeup that she's done for them look, it's natural. You see a lot of these people on YouTube that teach makeup, and you see them afterwards, and they're sharp edges and clearly colored differently than they are in real life. And Sarah can do that, and she can do it well, but in general, her makeup just looks natural when she helps someone do it. So that's a skill she has. But the greater skill is helping people move towards being more confident. And that is one of those things that will ultimately, as we discuss, change the world vitalize the people who encounter it. So at any rate, if you want to reach out to her and avail yourself of her abilities, she's here for that. She's here for you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for holding on for 2 weeks while we people in the Drury family convalesced and got better. But I will tell you, we are better. January, February were definitely winter months. They were hard in a lot of ways. Winter is symbolic of death in a lot of ways, and nobody died over here, thankfully, but there was some pain and some loss and some hurt. But I can tell you, I can see spring coming, and the universe has already given us signs that this is going to be a time of growth for our family, and I believe for you and for the world. And so I want to be a part of that any way I can. So reach out to me if there's anything I can do for you. If you have ideas of people that I should be interviewing about their bliss, email me at patchdrury@gmail.com and let me know. Or if I can help you find your bliss, that's what I do after all. I'm a consultant. I help people kind of get in there and figure out how to achieve their personal bliss. And I would love to do that for you like I've done for other people. So reach out and let me know. We'll see you next week.